right, hour number two. Welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Let's get Dane Mazzitani. He's got a flight to catch, so we don't want to keep him. But when all the news broke NFL-wise, Dane, one of our go-to guys, and he joins us. St. Paul Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com for Dane, where he covers the Minnesota Vikings. Dane, thanks for popping on and giving us a few minutes. So much going on with the Vikings and the speculation on top of the news that the NFL is going to play Christmas at least one game by the looks of things, potentially two. That certainly makes it interesting. Hard Knocks is changing, the kickoff, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to start with a rumor, and I think it's just that. I think it's a rumor, Dane, that maybe, just maybe, that the Chargers and with their new head coach Harbaugh's affinity for J.J. McCarthy would be willing to give up Justin Herbert, and the Vikings may be interested in that. And if McCarthy's there, the Chargers... Have you heard that one? There's nothing to it. I mean, I would love it. I think he's a hell of a player, Herbert, but there's nothing there to it, is there?
No, I hate to crush the dreams of people who are making the jersey edits of Justin Herbert in a Vikings uniform, but yeah. I would be floored if the Chargers were willing to move off a guy like that, a special talent, Justin Herbert. If it was a possibility, I think the Vikings would be among many teams lining up for that potential services of Justin Herbert. But no, I have not heard that, and I really don't think that is something that can happen. I think I've come on here a couple times in the offseason and said I think people are just bored. Yeah, I think people are still just bored and thinking of cool things that could theoretically happen. But no, I don't think Justin Herbert will be playing anywhere but in a Los Angeles Chargers uniform for a long time in his career.
Speaking of that quarterback position, that continues to be a dominating conversation in Vikings circles. The latest on that is it moving up for McCarthy? Does that seem at least the most likely here, as we said, on March 26th?
Yeah, so I'm at the owners' meetings in Orlando, and we talked to Kevin O'Connell on the record for about 20 minutes yesterday and 20 minutes today. And the funny thing is, he's a pretty good poker player. He would kind of refuse to acknowledge certain players by name. I think they're playing their cards close to the vest. If you ask about J.J. McCarthy, Kevin O'Connell talks about the entire group of quarterbacks in this class. So, I get the sense that they like McCarthy. I get the sense that they like Drake May if they can go up and get him. They have another extra pick now after acquiring 23 last week in that trade with the Houston Texans. So, equipped with number 11 and number 23, maybe you can package something together, jump up in the draft. I don't know for sure who they like because there are so many smoke screens at this time of the year. Yep. So I'm trying to be kind of calculated without saying, I think they're going to go all in for this guy. What I will say is I think they're going to be aggressive in getting a quarterback in this draft. I think this is a class that the Vikings have been really kind of scouting for a year, 2 years, 3 years, projecting this quarterback class, thinking this could be where we get our quarterback of the future. So who is that going to be? Totally not sure yet. Are they going to be aggressive in getting a guy that they really like? I really think so.
They conceivably could use that 23rd pick if it does. If the board doesn't fall their way, and there's somebody there at 12, like a Michael Penix is probably still going to be there. They could probably get him with the 23rd overall pick. Have they mentioned Penix at all? Have they had him in for a visit? Obviously, he's a left-hander. He's got the injury concerns that are always going to be with him. What about the Vikings and Penix? Anything to that?
I think he's probably just in that good group of quarterbacks that Kevin O'Connell kind of talks about. I think you're right that if the board doesn't fall in their favor or they're not able to move up in the first round and draft a Drake May, or if J.J. McCarthy gets kind of snaked out from under them, yeah, maybe they stay put at 11, take a defensive player, because a lot of offensive players are going to go early in this draft. So maybe you can get some value in a highly rated defensive player at 11. And then, like you said, target maybe Michael Penix at 23 now that you have that pick. It does help that the Vikings don't need to trade back into the first round any longer if they stay at 11. Mm-hmm. They now have 23. So if the board doesn't fall in their favor, if they're unable to move up, I certainly think that's a possibility. You watch Michael Penix play football, and he kind of plays the quarterback position like you think Kevin O'Connell wants it to be played. So I could see that, but I do think they have their sights set on probably moving up and being aggressive. Gotcha. Rather than staying put.
Dane, one of the major storylines coming out of the owners' meetings is a drop of the hip drop tackle. And, well, many players defensively not real pleased about this one, including Joshua Metellus, who in uncertain terms said, this thing stinks. What are you hearing on that front? And sound like the Players Association not real pleased about this one, which you think, with all the injuries that have come because of this, would be the opposite way. Some infighting happening in this rule.
Yeah, unanimously cleared by the owners, because I think it's more of a protecting your product kind of thing. I understand why the defensive players are frustrated by it. It does seem like the game is getting harder for defensive players by the minute. You can't touch receivers anymore. You can't tackle quarterbacks in a certain way anymore. And now you can't tackle someone in a way that could be deemed dangerous. I think where there's most contention with the hip drop tackle is it's kind of subjective. Like, when you see it, you know it. But I could see this flag being thrown for a hip drop tackle where we watch the replay and we think maybe that wasn't a hip drop tackle. So I do understand why the ownership across the board wants this out of the league. You look no further than Mark Andrews going down, breaking his leg on a play that it doesn't have to be like that. So it's hard, but I think it's another one of these rules that, like it or not, defensive players are just going to have to adapt to. And by a year, 2, 3 years out from now, it'll just be commonplace. It'll be part of kind of the infrastructure of the league, and we won't really be talking about it as a point of contention because it'll just be a rule. But I definitely understand it from a defensive player's perspective now, because it just seems like the game's getting harder.
Was there any pushback from the owners on the Saturday games? I find that hard to believe. I mean, they see the number of people that are tuning in. And apparently how it's going to work, Dane, is there'll be two games on the Saturday, which would be the 21st, and those four teams, then they would play, obviously wouldn't play back-to-back, they would play the other team that they didn't play on Wednesday. So it would kind of be the same as going Sunday to Thursday. It would be Saturday to Wednesday. So they still have that same recovery time. But was there pushback from the owners on that, or was that unanimous as well?
I don't think there was much pushback, just because you see the you play games any day of the week, people are going to tune in. Mm-hmm. More people tune in, more money is made.
Right.
It's good for the growth. And I understand why players wouldn't like it, because you're kind of getting jerked around. What, you're playing this day, you're playing that day. It used to be kind of a steady, you either play Sunday, you play Monday, and now you occasionally play Thursday. Now you can play any day of the week, it seems. It does feel like the NFL is trying to kind of monopolize the week, which business-wise, probably a good idea. I mean, if you tell me that they're going to put an NFL game on a Wednesday at 9 p.m., I'm probably going to watch it. Yeah. And I think a lot of people would agree. So I don't get the sense that there's a ton of pushback from the ownership, just because they understand kind of the money on the table that's set to be made.
Last one for me, Dane, and as you get ready to catch your flight and make it back to beautiful Minneapolis, I think it's 30 degrees right now, making your way back from Orlando, a Twins question for you. Such a weird offseason, finally build momentum with the postseason run a year ago, and then drop $30 million off the payroll. How are the natives up in Minnesota? I can tell you, this Twins fan, a very frustrating offseason.
Yeah, I think the Twins fans are frustrated for sure. I think watching, and I was there at that game, that playoff game where they win, they snap the streak, and the place goes nuts. If Target Field had a roof on it, it would have blown off. The place was crazy. I think to take that momentum and not build off of it, I think Twins fans are pretty frustrated. I think you mentioned they drop money off the payroll. They don't go out and get an elite pitcher after losing a guy like Sonny Gray. And just kind of hoping that certain guys develop. Look, I think the offense is going to be really good. Mm-hmm. I think the team's still going to be solid. I just think you had an opportunity here to kind of build and kind of push the thing in the right direction after such a special moment for the franchise, and you kind of let it stagnate. So, look, they're probably going to win the AL Central because the division is horrible, but I don't know if that's good enough. I think you should be trying to win a World Series, especially when you got guys like, Royce Lewis, who looks like he's poised to be a superstar. Carlos Correa, Byron Buxton, hopefully healthy, playing in center field. It could go down the list. The offense is good enough. The pitching is not. The only thing I will say is maybe this opens the door, and I sure hope so, for a big trade in the middle of the season. Maybe they're saving their big shot for then. But, yeah, disappointing all around. I think Twins fans kind of feel that heading into opening day this week.
Dane Mazzatani, St. Paul Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. Dane, go catch your flight. Thanks for giving us a few minutes on the NFL. Appreciate it, Dane. Thank you.
Anytime, guys.
Thank you. Dane Mazzatani, St. Paul Pioneer Press, who's in Orlando and was taken in the owner's meeting. I guess it's a pretty nice place they had him at.
Yeah.
They got the Red Roof Inn. Or...
little jingle jingle going on there. Didn't have time because Dane was catching a flight.
Yeah.
I did have on my list of questions, though. I wanted to ask him about the Wild. You probably can answer as well. Dane used to be on the beat.
Right.
Are they cooked? I mean,
can they make the playoffs?
Right, to make the playoffs. What is there, about 11 games, 12 games left for most teams, kind of that range?
Yeah, let me get the standings. I don't think they can, Trent. They just put themselves behind the eight ball right off the bat and never really could recover. Where are they standings-wise right now? They're not in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know they're on the out.
They've got three teams ahead of them.
They're 8 points back of a playoff bid.
No, there's not enough time.
With 11 left to go.
They got 11 left.
Yeah, that's...
And Nashville doesn't lose.
They don't.
They don't.
Okay.
And they're one of the teams that are... And the defending Stanley Cup champs are ahead of them. I don't think they're getting in. I don't think they are.
So your Jets will get whoever doesn't win the division, right?
Well,
between the Lance and the Stars?
Yeah, because I think that... Jets are going the wrong way.
Are they?
They've lost three straight. They're not playing well. You know, I don't know who's going to win the West. I really don't have a strong opinion.
Well, you've been the last few years all about the East, and it hasn't gone
well. I've been all over the Rangers, all over the Hurricane. Yeah. I am again this year. I've got a whole bunch of Canadian teams, that doesn't work.
Without the Wild being there, it's difficult for me to get really sucked in. So what are some of the storylines that are going to pull me in come April? Yeah. Is it that kind of year? Is this going to be a little bit more difficult to get the casual fan into the playoffs?
Yeah. Yes.
And it's too bad because I really enjoy it.
I do too. It's a phenomenal postseason. And I think the Canadian teams are going to have a big say in it.
Which is good for the casual American fan.
Colorado's good again this year, maybe. I think the intrigue lies in the East with the Panthers and the Bruins and the Leafs and the Rangers and...
I'll take a stab at the Lightning because I do have to do it every year.
You missed that window. Yeah, they were really good for a while. They made me a lot of money.
One thing I would love to see is the Red Wings get in. I see they're a point.
Yeah, they're
out
on
the
outside looking in right now.
They're a point behind the Capitals right now for the final wild card spot, just because that city, what the Red Wings have meant.
Mm-hmm.
Great franchise, finally getting in there. It's been a long time.
Yeah, friend of the afternoon shows, the head coach, and Derek Lalonde.
That's right.
That's cool. If Sean's got me, call him up, get him on. I think the NBA, the NBA always moves the needle playoff-wise here more than the NHL, although it's not, it's the gap isn't as wide as it once was by a long shot. I think the Iowa Wild have done a long gone a long way to cultivating hockey fans.
And we'll get there in the NBA playoffs. I think the Timberwolves being a story will help a little bit.
I think it will for sure.
People.
Yeah.
The Bulls
and that
play-in
round last year was good, Trent. Sure was going to be worth a damn.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have a play-in round that'll have the Bulls that'll be involved. Uh-huh. Okay, there's a little local angle that we'll have on that front. We'll see how.
But you're right about the T-Wolves.
Yeah, they got a chance.
Mm-hmm. And they've got a legitimate superstar in Anthony Edwards.
He's so fun.
He really is.
And that's another one for the casual fan. You know what? I don't really have an NBA team anymore.
Right.
Yeah, they're a regional team. Let's jump in and watch. They're going to grab some fans.
Oh, this
playoff,
is unbelievable. I got them at 65-1. Now, I know they have to win
it. They got
to
win it.
But 60.
Could you hedge out of it, though, if they get even the Western Conference Finals?
Hell yes, I could.
You can make a profit on
that one. Absolutely. We shall see. We'll take a timeout. John Bowenkamp, 31 years he's been on the beat.
That's great.
Isn't that wild? Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
He completed year number 31 last night as the curtain fell. By the way, Justin Miller here from KXNO, he's making his way to Boston.
Yeah, I saw that.
Good for him.
I saw some flight delays. I saw Freund, Williams, and Gray, I think, were...
They're all on the same flight?
Yeah, and they got rerouted. It looked like a mess from what I saw on Twitter there from Freund. Not a fun one to make your way out to Boston, but he'll be there in plenty of time.
Yeah. Oof. Guess what? A
couple of Sam Adams?
There's worse things.
Knowing those guys, I think there might be one or two.
Do you like Sam Adams?
I don't know. I don't think I've even had a Sam Adams.
I used to like it.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of it anymore.
No.
I don't know. It's okay.
It's all Stella for you.
It is, but now Sam Adams has so many different flavors.
Mm-hmm. You're not an Oktoberfest kind of guy. Neither am I.
I don't want fruit in my beer.
I like a fruity beer. I like a good sour.
And I've never had one.
You've never had a sour?
I've never had a sour in my life.
Can I get you a sour next time we're in Vegas together?
Sure.
As long as it's not before
6:30.
6:30 Pacific.
Pacific. So what is a sour?
It's just a beer that is fermented with usually a fruit flavor, something like that. I like them. I like them that way. I do not like the hoppy stuff, the IPAs.
So when you get a Boulevard, you put an orange in it?
No, I don't even do that. That's a wheat beer. I don't enjoy wheat beers.
Yeah,
it just needs to be a straight sour. Well, do you like sweet stuff? You don't seem like a sweets kind of guy.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, probably not your scene.
No, I think I'll stick with my Stella.
You know where that is on tap at Circa?
I do. Right, the long bar. I'm so ready to get back there. Yeah, I'm so ready to get back there and be there in a few weeks. Anyways, timeout, come back, and John Bolenkamp will join us. We'll go back to Carver from last night, where they go from here.
Did you see the fan base, too, just not wanting to leave?
They didn't want to leave, Trent. They just wanted to just soak everything in, didn't they? They know. They'll never experience this again. This is a once-in-a-lifetime athlete.
It's not hyperbolic.
It's not.
There will never be anything like this again.
So where does she rank on the all-time Hawkeyes period athletes?
Number one.
She knocks Kinnick off the...
Kinnick won a Heisman Trophy in 1939. It was a million years ago. It was a completely different environment.
I'm with
you. He didn't transcend the game.
No.
It's a great story. And he very well could have been governor of our state and a lot of things, but it's a lot of what-ifs.
And
you know what? If he wouldn't have died tragically, would he be in the same lore? He probably wouldn't.
No, probably not.
As an athlete.
That's sad, but true.
As an athlete, he was an incredible one. And I know he was Sportsman of the Year across all sport. But it was a completely different time that we're talking about. She has changed a sport. Changed a sport for the better. And what she has done. There's nobody even close. It is number one in a huge gap between her and number two.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's absolutely true. It's 25 after noon. We will take a timeout. John Bolenkamp joins us next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. One little nugget to the NFL. We'll get John Bolenkamp here momentarily. Playing the two games on Saturday, the 21st, and then those teams would play on Christmas Day again. On Saturday, the 21st, according to Scott Dockerman, there are three college football playoff schedules.
There are.
Scheduled that day.
Head-to-head, you know who's going to win?
Football.
Football will win.
DraftKings. Circa.
Right.
They win. Let's get to John Bolenkamp in here. He just completed year number 31 on the beat, you graybeard. You, welcome to the program. 31 years. How about that?
You ought to see when I don't shave. It actually is kind of gray.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
I got
the
same problem.
Badge of honor for all of us.
That's right.
So you're number 31, obviously. I know the latest is always the greatest, right? Because it's closest to the top of mind. But man, oh man, John, watching it unfold last night, and what struck me, and Trent brought it up not too long ago, and I'm glad he did because I'd forgotten to, nobody wanted to leave. I mean, you had to almost shoo the people out of there. Like, it's over, folks. There's not going to be another 5 minutes encore. Their teams aren't coming back on the floor. Go home.
Yeah, I mean, well, I did hear somebody actually out in the hallway yelling, they're not signing autographs anymore.
Wow.
There's some security guard that he yells every game to clear that tunnel out. And he'll do it sometimes like in the middle of press conferences. And some of the players will be talking and then they'll stop like, who's yelling out there? You know, so it's been fascinating to watch. And it's been fascinating to watch the crowd. I mean, I got here yesterday at 4:15. For a 7 o'clock game, and yeah, I know traffic's always bad around Carver that time of day, but it was already getting bad, you know, and so it's been a fascinating ride and a lot of memories from it in my mind.
It's been a great run, no doubt about it. You're sitting getting ready to hear from Kirk later this afternoon. You got a train running by you. I mean, it's all coming up Bolenkamp.
I see it coming. I see it coming. So anyway, I'll roll down the window so you can hear the horn.
Oh, we're looking forward to that, no doubt about it. Ken posed this to me as we were ending the last segment, and it's about Caitlin Clark and her place in Iowa sports history. There's not a better person to talk to about than you right now, Mr. Bolenkamp. I think it's number one ahead of Niall Kinnick, ahead of Dan Gable as a coach. Anybody else, I think it is so clear-cut, her number one. How do you see it, Caitlin Clark, and where she fits in the pantheon at the University of Iowa?
Sometimes recency bias can creep into that, but when you look at the numbers, when you look at the records, when you look at everything about what she has done and the impact she has had on the sport nationally, on the sport worldwide. I mean, we had a French journalist, here for this tournament. Just the overall, just the complete resume. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. That's number one in my book. I don't know how you can argue against that. I mean, you can make cases for other people, but I think that that's one that you just can't argue in my mind.
There it is.
Right on time.
And there's a trade for it. Yep, exactly.
So who else is on that list? I mean, I think Trent's right. Dan Gable, obviously. Kinnick's on it. Did you put Hayden Fry on it?
Yeah, maybe. Kurt Warner, you want to throw that name out there?
Oh, Iowan.
Oh, yeah, we were just talking
University
of Iowa. Okay, yeah. University of Iowa, yeah. I think you throw Hayden in there. Look at what Luca Garza did. Yeah. It's not just her in my mind, it's the team and what this team has done, especially in the last couple of years. And she's the leader of that. So again, when you take in that whole aspect, I don't think you can make a I just think she is number one on that list in my mind.
Yeah, going to be fascinating, John, to see how America perceives her once she gets to the next level, because she's clearly playing the role of the villain now amongst most of the fan bases, right? Maybe not when she plays LSU. That might be the only team that it's kind of a trade-off. But when she does get to the WNBA, will she be a villain at that level? Or, I mean, think of the corporate America that's lining up beside her. Do they wish that she would smile a little? I'm guessing the answer is probably yes, but that's not her. Will she be a villain at the next level?
No, but I do think, though, that is going to make her a little bit of a target in that league. I mean, you have a lot of older players in that league that, have had success. Not just at the college level, but at the professional level and at the Olympic level too. And there's going to be probably a little bit of jealousy. I mean, she's going to be a target. There is going to be that welcome to the big time moment. And I mean, you see that. I don't care in what sport you see that in. That you see those rookies early on that they are, there. This is how it goes. This is how it's going to be in this league. And so, I mean, I do think there is going to be a period of adjustment for her, and she may struggle. I don't think she will, but there is always that chance that it could happen. And so, I mean, I think that it is going to be an entirely different level for her, I think, and it will be an adjustment for her, but there's no question in my mind that she will be able to make that adjustment, and probably rather quickly.
So now it's Colorado on tap next in the Sweet 16 in Albany. Are you stringing out there for the AP, or are you going to be staying home for this one?
I will be home for the rest of them. So, I kind of thought about the Final Four, but I started looking at the hotel rooms and the prices. And the reason why some of those prices that way is that's Eclipse weekend.
What's that?
I like
a total eclipse.
Is there? Wow.
And yes, and Cleveland is in the path of that. And so it is. I did not know that until somebody explained that the other day, because I didn't put the dates together. And yeah, that is total eclipse weekend. So you've got all this stuff, and so Cleveland's really pricey. But no, I will not be going to Albany, and I will not be going to Cleveland. So it disappoints me, but that's the way it is.
Condon and I both looked at each other. What?
Eclipse?
Yeah, was it some kind of concert?
What league is that?
Yeah. Hey, I will tell you this: it's Terre Haute is in that line. Their celebration is being called Total Eclipse of the Hot.
Ah, nice. Wow. Well, that's well done. Well done. Hey, John.
Anyway, we're going off the rails here, so anyway, go ahead.
Does this team look tired to you? Like the whole season is kind of, taking a toll? I don't think they're long for the NCAA tournament. I don't. I'm not saying that Colorado's going to beat them, but I love the points. But that aside, do they look tired? Do they, when you talk to them after the game, does fatigue come up in any of their answers?
No, you know what? I thought the same thing before, after the Big Ten tournament, and granted, some of that also had to do with playing three games in less than 48 hours, but I think they got a break. I mean, they got a break with that week off, and Lisa Bluter gave them some extended time off right after the Big Ten tournament and right before the selection show. So, I mean, they had some time off. They feel a little more refreshed, but I think maybe there is some sort of exhaustion in the attention. You know, I mean, you can kind of tell that, and it's only going to get worse, you know, I mean, as you move along. And so, I mean, from that aspect, maybe all the things around them, there's an exhaustion. But I do think now maybe being on the road, maybe they get a little bit more refreshed. You know, they're away from, you know, the emotions of this week and everything. So I do think it's a little bit of a factor, but maybe not that much.
Fair point. And Colorado, 4 returning starters from a year ago. Iowa won that one by 10, but it was a 4-point game with 5 minutes to play. Going to be difficult once again. And then, oh wait, LSU or UCLA in that Elite Eight game. We know ESPN wants it. We know women's college basketball as a whole wants that matchup there. Will we get it?
I think so. Oof. I mean, a lot depends on LSU and how distracted they might be. I mean, Kim Mulkey's not helping herself here in the last couple of weeks, couple of days. But, does that become a factor next week? I don't know. But, you know, I do think that's what everybody wants. And I think that, you know, and like you said, I think everybody in ESPN, women's basketball, whatever else, they want that game. And I think it happens. I mean, I think Colorado's going to give Iowa a test. I mean, I think this was a really good Colorado team last year. I think it's a little bit better than what Iowa saw last year. But it's still a game I think Iowa wins, and I think they get to that Elite Eight. And then after that, you know, like I said, it just kind of depends on how those games go on Saturday.
Oh, going to be fascinating to see it play out. When you think back to the men's season, we still haven't really done a dissect into the year yet, Trent. It's kind of an afterthought this year. When you think back, what went wrong, what went right? They weren't supposed to be any good. They flirted with the NCAA tournament right up until really the Illinois game and the final game of the regular season. So it's not like they were eliminated when the calendar turned to February. They gave us that little bit of a cheap thrill. So how do you think back on the men's season? What would you write? What will you write?
I said it was a good team that wasn't good enough. And it was a sense of that there was a lot of talent there, but for whatever reason, they got it put together at a certain amount of time. But, you know, down the stretch when they needed to win games, they didn't do it. And, they needed to play well against Illinois, and they didn't do it till the second half. They needed to play well in the Big Ten tournament, and they didn't do it. You know, so, I felt at the beginning of the year this was a 19-20 win team. That's what it was. You know, so like I said, it met expectations, but to get to where, you know, to get to an NCAA tournament, they kind of had to exceed the expectations, and there were just times they didn't do that. And I think digging that hole that they did in December, I think, set them back a little bit. They responded, which, I mean, they've done that now the last 2 years. But this time around, they just didn't quite make those plays down the stretch they needed to do to win.
If Tony Perkins does not come back for his final season of eligibility, you have a backcourt that has Brock Harding, Josh Dix, and that's it. That's a lot of work that needs to be done in the portal. Guards win in March, and what's been the bugaboo for Iowa under Fran McCaffrey? Winning in March. That is incredibly scary there. Does Iowa have the ability, the funds, to be able to do that and bring in a couple impactful guards?
Sure. I mean, I think you can find guys. I mean, everybody thinks you need to have this big money bag, and I do think that helps. but at the same time, you can find guys. There's minutes to be had there.
Yep.
And there are guys out there that are really talented players that look for that because they're thinking longer term. You know, can you find some NIL money to help out? Absolutely. But, you know, there's a lot of guys. I mean, there's 800 and some guys in the portal.
And counting.
Go find two or three guards. Yes, yeah. And counting.
Right.
And like I said, you haven't seen some of these other teams.
Yeah.
When they get eliminated, those teams coming in. So there's going to be a lot of guys out there, and they're going to see some playing time available. And you look at the way he runs his offense, you look at the way they do things, it really is a guard-oriented offense. So, you know, it's just going to depend on what they are looking for and what the transfer is looking for. You're going to find a couple of matches in there. I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Who finishes second in the NL West?
Probably the Giants, because I don't ever trust the Padres because of the way they've flopped over the years. They're all going to be running way behind. You know, we know that. So, probably the Giants, you know. So
I think you're probably right. Giants, I keep waiting for these Padres to come to life, but you're right. They never live up to it. We shall see.
And maybe a change in manager helped.
Maybe.
You know, they didn't coexist well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that does, who knows, but there is still that monster ahead of them. So, you know.
Bohnenkamp, we'll get you out on this. As you sit at what steak restaurant are you sitting at in the parking lot?
Longhorn.
You're at the Longhorn. You're waiting to hear from Kirk.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear
today, isn't it?
Yeah, 2:30 with that one. Question about Proctor. Question about the new offense. What else are you going to be searching for today as you're digging around during the press conference?
I'll be curious to see what his answers are about what is going on right now at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen some video with Cade McNamara working with a knee brace. So I'll be curious to see how much work he's getting in and who is kind of where are they at backup-wise at this point. And to me, that's the big thing, and then also how are they working with the new offensive coordinator? What are some different things? We probably won't get a lot of specifics of that. But I'd be kind of curious to see where that is right now, that dynamic at that position is, because it is so important for their success this year to have not only plan A, but plan B and maybe even plan C. So we'll see what happens. That's going to be one of my things I'm going to be listening for. Today.
If August 31st gets here, and Illinois State comes out of the tunnel, and they play defense first, and Iowa's offense comes onto the field, and here comes Deacon Hill.
Ugh.
Can you imagine?
I would love to see what he's going to be with a new voice in his head. If that is where the number two spot goes, which I don't think it will, but I want to see how these guys develop now. Under a new OC and under some new voices, that's going to be really a big thing for me, because that has been a big problem in the last few years.
That's fair.
It's just developing quarterbacks, and it's not just, like I said, not just plan A, but plan B and plan C.
Congratulations on your 31 years on the beat, John Bohnenkamp. Well done.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good to talk to you, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk down the road.
All right, have a good one.
Yep, see you. John Bohnenkamp, Associated Press, Iowa College Hoops. And HawkeyeNation.com. So, Ferentz 2:30 today.
Mm-hmm.
Good. We'll have to have somebody on to recap what we hear or what we're about to hear at that from that at some point tomorrow. It's a really shiny slate of home games for Iowa this year. You get Cy-Hawk.
That's good.
Here comes the Huskies.
Mm-hmm.
Northwestern, okay. But Wisconsin and Nebraska.
Yeah, it's great.
It's not bad.
No.
Illinois State and Troy, meh, but you get those all the time. But having the clones come in, not bad at all. Miller and Condon, Trent's plays of the day. We'll be knitting, I'm assuming, when we come back, right?
NITing?
It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
Trent's Pick of the Day is brought to you by Circus Sports. Download the Circus Sports app today to play with Trent or against him.
All right, final couple of minutes. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Nico Medved in the hunt at Oklahoma State, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. He's done a great job at Colorado State.
I heard Olford trying to sneak
his way
in.
Yeah, he's in there, too.
Yes.
Yeah, he's in the conversation as well. Still nothing. Why is Tucker DeVries not in the transfer portal? Does he need to be? I mean, it's a given, isn't
right.
it?
I don't know. I mean, do we know that he's not?
I haven't seen his name associated with it normally.
But it's already been reported that he's going to be joining his father.
Yeah. I mean, I know Drake fans are holding out hope.
Yeah, it's
and I get why they're doing that.
Don't.
Apparently, Eric Henderson's name is one thing to keep in mind on this job, so we'll see where it goes.
It's a good one.
Yeah, hell yeah. He's done a great job in the Summit League. You've got four NIT games tonight. How many of those are you playing?
Well, two tonight.
There's only two tonight?
Two tonight, two tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
If I was still alive, they'd be playing tomorrow.
Oh, it's CBI tonight.
Oh, we got CBI action. Let's kick it off with High Point. We're laying the 2.5 with High Point against Arkansas State with our first pick. We're also going to play Fairfield getting the 7. The Stags plus 7 against Seattle. I do have one play in the NIT. I do like Cincinnati getting the 4 down in Terre Haute. And one NBA play. Didn't go real well yesterday. We'll go right back to it again. Give me the Heat getting 3 at home against Golden State Warriors.
Yeesh.
Going the wrong way.
Window slammed shut.
4-pack for today.
We'll see how you do.
4-pack of sours.
We'll be back tomorrow. Cappy will be here. Look forward to that conversation with the Cap Man. Murph and Andy next, The Drive with Heather and Sean, 3 until 6, Miller and Condon weekdays. 11 to 1, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.